Hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike Hoggard coming to you from Watchman Studios with another Watchman video broadcast. If I say the words Nordic or White Brotherhood or Aryan race, what comes to mind? Or let me phrase the question like, who comes to mind? Right? I'm of the firm opinion that nothing, and I mean nothing, goes on in this world without some form of, let's say, divine intervention. And when I say divine, I'm referring to the entire spectrum of divinity, be it the Most High God, whose Son is Jesus Christ, part of the Godhead, Father, the Word, or the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Or, because of the word divination, when you divine something, you're not necessarily getting it from Jesus or the Bible, you're getting it from devils. And I believe that. I believe that everything that happens in this world, number one, God's providence, I firmly believe in. I believe God is the creator, the governor, the Lord supreme, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the God who controls and everything. There is nothing that happens in the universe but what God foreknew it and probably in some way brought it about. But then there's also the lesser gods. We know of the angelic realm. We know of the part that they play in our daily lives. They act as we saw them act as messengers in the Old Testament and in the Bible. We're told that we may be entertaining some unawares when they come to our house. But I also believe that they are protectors of God's people. Psalm 91 bears that out. He shall give his angels charge over thee, and so on. But then there are the devils. The evil angels, fallen angels, little gods, little g gods, things like that. They had their hand in all kinds of things. And since they say there's about 7.5 billion people on this planet right now, I would say there's got to be way more devils than there are humans. Because I don't think they're omnipotent. I don't think they're omnipresent, meaning I don't think they're all powerful. I don't think they can be everywhere all at once. I don't think they're omniscient, meaning I don't think they know everything. But the whole idea behind the phrase familiar spirit, we're going to look at that, to me sort of gives the idea that this is a spirit that is familiar with you. Remember Samuel and a devil posing as Samuel. He knew, this devil knew Samuel. Frontwards, backwards, sidewards, slantwards, and all other kinds of words. He knew Samuel, and he had Saul and the woman at Endor believing that that was Samuel. But it was not Samuel, it was a familiar spirit. So, getting back to Adolf Hitler, I don't think anything that he did, I mean, here's this, what was he, a corporal? Really? Corporal in the German army, World War I? And all of a sudden now, he is like the God supreme of the entire Aryan race and on his way to conquering Europe, had it not been for the Yankees. Yes, not the New York Yankees. America. Had it not been for America entering World War II, there's no telling how that would have went. Because they were blasting the devil out of England. Okay, so I believe that Adolf Hitler rose to power and he had help. He had divine intervention. Remember Ephesians 2, verse 2. The Bible refers to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Well, Hitler would be characterized as that. The reason why I bring that up is I found an article. I saved it. I went back and retrieved it. It was in my notes. And it had to do with one particular writer's theory about where Adolf Hitler got some of his ideas from, about the white brotherhood, the Aryan race, the master race, and you know, why he had German scientists trying to figure out how genetics worked. Because he saw the Jews as an inferior race and other races. And the idea of a blonde-haired, blue-eyed German was like the pinnacle of the perfect German. Too bad Hitler was neither blonde-haired nor blue-eyed. I don't know how he got away with that divine intervention. But anyway, here's the articles. It is from the Canadian National Newspaper, and it was titled, British Author Links Racism to Manipulative Extraterrestrial Genetic Interference. And the article says, many abductees report that the gray aliens who abduct them and conduct unspeakable experiments on them refer to a horde, like a group or a gang, collective, who are their human target on the earth for their machinations here. These human targets resemble a certain type of alien being often seen with the gray aliens that feature in almost all abduction accounts. Keep that in mind. Almost all abduction accounts. They have been called the Nordics and are apparently humanoid and have blonde hair, blue eyes. Professor David Jacobs writes that, quote, the evidence clearly suggests that the Nordics are most probably adult hybrids of human/alien mating. If the product of gray alien hybridization with humanity is Nordic, it raises questions as to why they are promoting a blonde, blue-eyed, low-melanin genotype. So the article is basically saying that most abductees, most people who have encounters with UFOs and or aliens, along with the little gray aliens that they describe a Nordic-looking race of aliens, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, usually very, very tall, very muscular, very pleasant-looking to the appearance. Now, do I believe that those Nordic aliens are the product of alien hybridization? No, I don't believe that. Because I'm not going to go back through this, but we're told through scriptures that many angels take on the appearance of men. We see it in Genesis 18, Genesis 19. Michael, the prince over Israel, is described as a man. Gabriel is described as a man, and so on. We're told to entertain angels or to entertain strangers. Could be an angel. We wouldn't necessarily know the difference. We might think there might be something special about this person, but we wouldn't be able to tell. So I don't believe that part yet. But the idea was that there is a hybridization program coming. That I believe. I believe it from Genesis 6. I believe it from Daniel 2, the interpretation of the fourth kingdom. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. That part I believe. But it inspired Hitler. Was the point of this article? It inspired Adolf Hitler to think of this hybrid race or this master race. Blonde-haired, blue-eyed, tall, the perfect German. To be the ones, get this now, what was Hitler going to do had he not been stopped? And understand this. World War II warfare was different than any other war in human history before it. It had never been fought that way. I mean, yeah, we had a few planes that dropped bombs back in World War I, but not on the scale of World War II. On World War II, Hitler and Germany was, I mean, within months of perfecting jet airplanes, which would have beat every propeller airplane we had, and the British, and an atomic bomb. Had Hitler got an atomic bomb, it's over with. So he was stopped, and I believe by divine intervention. I believe God stepped in and said, it's not time yet for this Antichrist. Okay? But the idea was that he was going to take over the earth. Who was he going to have help him rule it? The Nordics. These blonde-haired, blue-eyed, supreme master race from Germany, probably maybe from all of Scandinavia, Norway, Denmark, Sweden, places like that. He was going to have them rule over the entire world. Sound familiar now? Here's what it says. There are historical accounts to suggest that Hitler may have met one of these hybrids. The following are his words to Hermann Rauschning, the Nazi governor of Danzig. The new man is living amongst us now. He is here. I will tell you a secret. I have seen the new man. He is intrepid and cruel, and I was afraid of him. Now, what did Hitler see? Did he see a big, tall, good-looking, handsome, young, Norwegian, Scandinavian guy? No. I think he saw a devil. I think he saw something very similar to what Saul saw, try that in a sentence, to what Saul saw that was conjured up from the depths of the earth by the woman, the witch, at Endor. I think that's what he saw. In fact, I have no doubt of it. And he sees this thing and gazes into its eyes, and here's Adolf Hitler, who everybody in Europe was afraid of Adolf Hitler. Who was Adolf Hitler afraid of? He wasn't even afraid of the U.S. He despised Great Britain and the U.S. for standing in his way. How dare we do that? But he looks at this thing, and it shakes him in his boots. So he calls it the new man. The new man. So now, maybe, hopefully, starting to make sense with you. This idea of a hybridization program. What, are we all going to look like gray aliens? No. It's possible the hybridization takes place with these Nordic-type aliens. The article goes on to say, it seems that Hitler believed that he had seen a member of an, quote, Aryan super race, which he believed to originate from the inner earth. Stop right here. Bingo. That is exactly where the woman at Endor saw these gods. She said, Saul said, what did you see? I saw gods ascending up out of the earth. What did he look? She said gods, plural. Saul was only interested in one. What did he look like? Well, he's old man, had a mantle. She didn't see his face. Saul perceived that it was Samuel. The Bible says that. Okay? So, but they came up out of the earth. That is exactly what it's saying here. Which he believed to originate from the inner earth, a Nordic alien inspiring his blonde, blue-eyed ideal. Hitler had intimate links with the Thule Society. I'll tell you what that means in a minute. The Thule Society members were allegedly the first group to attempt the back engineering of an extraterrestrial spacecraft. Stop right here. Go back before July 7th, 1947. Roswell, New Mexico. In fact, it actually didn't crash downtown Main Street, Roswell, New Mexico. It sort of, from one recollection, it sort of skipped off the ground, off a mountainside, maybe right outside of Roswell, landed more towards Magdalene, New Mexico, Corona, New Mexico, that area, way out in the middle of nowhere. Rancher found all the stuff out in his field, all right? So go back before that. There was a story of an alleged crashed ship in Germany while Hitler is in charge of Germany. Immediately taken to some secret castle and starts dismantling this thing the best they can, trying to figure out how it works. Where do you think we got the idea from? The United States. Operation, look this up, Operation Paperclip. It's a real event. The United States and the Soviet Union, United States CIA, the Soviet Union KGB, they had met in Berlin, and for a while there, while they were destroying what was left of Nazi Germany and its regime, they were sort of divvying up who got what. And they ended up, you remember, they ended up cutting Berlin in half. Well, they did that with Germany's scientists. Because the Russians, the Soviets, they wanted some for their stuff. We wanted some for our stuff. We knew that Hitler was working on atomic bombs and advanced aircraft. So Operation Paperclip was the newly formed CIA. It was the OSS back in World War II, bringing Nazi scientists, giving them a free pass. Wernher von Braun was one of them. Giving them, saying, okay, we don't want to hear about what you did, Nazi Germany, as far as the Jews is concerned, as far as crimes against humanity. We just want to know what you were working on. So we brought them over here, shipped them down to Roswell, New Mexico, the Trinity site, where they developed the first atomic bomb. Among other things, more than likely. All right? But there was a story of a crashed and retrieved UFO in Nazi Germany. Can you imagine Hitler's army dropping nuclear bombs, atomic bombs, over the United States of America with advanced flying craft that can go from zero to 7,000 miles an hour without accelerating and then stop on a dime. The world as we know it now would have never existed. Let me keep reading. In his biography of one of the Thule Society's founding members, Dr. Wilhelm Dahm wrote, quote, "The Thule Gesellschaft," which is means society, name originated from mythical Thule, a Nordic equivalent of the vanished culture of Atlantis. A race of giant supermen lived in Thule, linked into the cosmos through magical powers. They had psychic and technological energies far exceeding the technical achievements of the 20th century. This knowledge was to be put to use to save the fatherland and create a new race of Nordic Aryan Atlanteans. A new messiah would come forward to lead the people to this goal. What do we have here? Okay, well, we have giants. We have hybridization. We have advanced technology. We have a alleged mythical kingdom that sank under a large amount of water. We have Genesis 6 and 7, only in a scarred, veiled form. My friend Chuck Thurston, who's an ER doctor, he's the guy that introduced me to the idea that the cell, human cell, is a tabernacle. I mean, he got me started in that and got me with the Hebrew letters being the 22 amino acids. Okay, I got that from him, then I took off with it. But anyway, he referred to stories like this as the fossils of time, space, and matter. In other words, you have all these stories from all over the world. Creation myths, flood myths, dragon stories. Okay? You have all these giant stories from all over the world. And Dr. Thurston said that these are the fossilized remains of the truth that the scripture brings to light. Fossilized because you can't quite see exactly what they are, but you get sort of an idea of what they are. Okay? That's all these stories all over the world. They're all basically pointing you to, guys like Eric von Daniken and others would say, the Bible is pointing you to the ancient Sumerian account, which is the most accurate. Fooey on that! The Sumerians knew nothing about what had happened. God tells it right. The sons of God came into the daughters of men. made wives out of them, and then they brought forth children. And these children ruled the world. So what is Thule? Thule is basically the German equivalent of Atlantis. It was a kingdom, a land, that disappeared under the water at the time of the flood. So they have a story of the flood, they have a story of giants, they have a story of a superior race that ruled over the world, and they called it Thule. So in early Germany, you have the Thule Gesellschaft, pardon my German, or the Thule Society. Now this is not a Sunday school group, this is not a Bible study, this was a secret society, an occult-based secret society in Germany, sort of in advance of Hitler. Not much evidence that says Hitler was a member of that, but they formed what amounted to the Nazi Party. Listen to this article from crystallinks.com. The Thule Society was a German occultist and Volkisch, which means folk, people's group, in Munich, named after a mythical northern country from Greek legend. Northern country. The society is notable chiefly as the organization that sponsored the Deutsche Arbeiterpartei, which was later reorganized by Adolf Hitler into the National Socialist German Workers' Party, or the Nazi Party. Thule was a land located by Greco-Roman geographers in the furthest north, often displayed as Iceland. You got to go a little bit farther north than that. The term Ultima Thule is also mentioned by the Roman poet Virgil in his pastoral poems called the Georgics. Although originally Thule was probably the name for Scandinavia, Virgil simply uses it as a proverbial expression for the edge of the known world, and his mention should not be taken as a substantial reference to Scandinavia. I agree with that. The identified Ultima Thule, said by the Nazi mystics to be the capital of ancient, here's another word for you, Hyperborea, as a lost ancient landmass in the extreme north, near Greenland or Iceland. These ideas derive from earlier speculation by Ignatius L. Donnelly that a lost landmass had once existed in the Atlantic and that it was the home of the Aryan race, a theory he supported by reference to the distribution of swastika motifs. He identified this with Plato's Atlantis, a theory further developed by Helena Blavatsky. We're going to see her again, an occultist during the second part of the 19th century. Now I want you to notice there on the right, the symbol for the Thule Gesellschaft. It is a stylized swastika with a dagger or possibly a sword. Thule Gesellschaft, established 1919. So we have a secret society here with the express idea that there was at one time existing on this earth a land, the Atlantic Ocean, whether it was the Mid-Atlantic, South Atlantic, North Atlantic, whatever, that there was a land ruled over by a race of giant supermen. This is what we know from the Bible. I mean, when you look at Genesis 6, look at Genesis 7, then you look at the 12 spies that went into Canaan land in Numbers chapter 13. Because in that chapter, when the 12 spies came back, they said, we can't go in there. That land covered over, everybody over there is a giant. They're ruled over by a giant. We know that Og, king of Bashan, and we know that Sion, king of the Amorites, they were both giants. My suspicion is that all 33, dun, 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 all 33 kings that Moses and Joshua killed to get into Canaan land, these were the kings of Canaan land, those kings, my idea was they were all giants. In Joshua 10, that's the chapter where Joshua commanded the sun and the moon to stand still. They trapped five of these kings in a cave. And I believe that these were giants. Can't prove it, but I'm going by the testimony of the 12 spies who came back and said, everybody in that land's a giant. So that's why 10 of them came back and said, there ain't no way we can go in there. We're all going to die. What, Moses? Would God bring us out here to get killed by the giants? We could have been killed by the Egyptians with garlic on our breath. anyway. So, you understand now, the thing that was is the thing that will be. The thing that hath been is the thing that shall, that is that which shall be. And there is no new thing under the sun. This is tantamount to Atlantis rising. So we have Thule, or Ultima Thule. We learned a new word, Hyperborea. You ever heard of the Aurora Borealis? You know what that is? They call them what? The Northern Lights. Where do you see them? The North. Okay? They only show up on the North. You can only see them up there. Borealis is a term used to describe basically everything above the Arctic Circle. Arcturus is a bear. That's where the word comes from. And it's a circle at the top of the earth. Everything above that line is referred to as the Arctic. And it just so happens that currently we are not aware of any land up there. It doesn't exist. It's just a big hole in the ocean. That's all it is. So, were they referring to a real place, a country that existed on planet Earth at one time, up at the North Pole, where Santa Claus and his happy elves, think about that one for a while, lived and gave presents to all the kids? No, I don't think so. I think, according to Scripture, I've read this before, just touch on it very quickly, Ezekiel chapter 1, we know. I used to have a teacher that I didn't like in high school. She would always lick her finger and then hand me the paper. Anyway. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 4. I looked and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. And this was God. This was God's share. Does God live at the North Pole? No. He lives way beyond that. But I think overall that the north in the Bible is a reference to the heavenly realm. And that is where this army that's coming originated. The idea is that the Thule Gesellschaft and Hitler himself, the ideas for an Aryan race, the ideas, remember I said earlier that a divine hand was involved in all of this. And by that, it's when it comes to Nazi Germany, I believe devils, satanic sort of hand involved in that. And we actually have proof of that. Because the Thule Society, they were being, and the inner workings, I guess, of the Nazi Party, Hitler, Bormann, Goering, Heinrich Himmler, especially, you know, with the little round glasses, the little pipsqueak guy, okay? Heinrich Himmler was steeped into the occult. He would have rituals, okay? No kidding, occult rituals. Hitler was infatuated with things, I mean, the Raiders of the Lost Ark is not necessarily true, but Hitler was infatuated with religious relics because he was told, probably by Himmler and maybe by some others, I'm pointing to a particular person here on my screen, that they were endowed with magical properties and would give whoever held them immense power over the universe. Because that's what Hitler wanted. I mean, good grief. Why don't you, like, build paper airplanes or something else to do with your time instead of figuring out how to kill all the Jews in the world because you hate them, because you feel bad about yourself? Really? He was possessed. Anyway, check this gal out. Her name is Maria Orsic. Fräulein Maria Orsic. She was a member of a group, part of the Thule Society, called sort of an offshoot of the Thule Society, called the Vril Society. Now remember, I've dealt with this, it's been a while. There was a book written by a British author who speculated. It's a novel. It's a fiction. But he said that there was a superior master race that lived underground, under the earth. Remember where these Nordics come from? Remember where the gods came from that the lady at Endor saw? But anyway, this place, this underground kingdom, a superior race there, and they had a secret power derived from what they called a black sun. And that secret power, that secret energy, they called Vril. Now, for some reason, some occultists in Germany got hold of this book, took it literally, and they believed, because it matched the stories that had been handed down to them from many hundreds of generations in Germany, Bohemia, places like that, where they're hearing tales of underground kingdoms and an advanced race that lives underground, and or that they come out through the north and so on and so on. So they named this particular society the Vril Society, and it was the secret society. But it specialized in what they called, take a look at it, the Vril Maidens or the Vril Damen from 1922 to 1945. I want you to notice that most all of these Vril Damen, these Vril Fräuleins, have long hair. Maria Orsic in particular, blonde-haired, blue-eyed. Now I want you to think Bible on this. Think, let me put my marker here, that's in Joel, because I've got Joel on the brain right now, because Joel is all about that northern army. Okay? Because that's what he calls it, the northern army. Revelation 17, mystery. Upon her forehead was a name written, mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So think of all these Vril Damen as representatives of mystery Babylon. Why? Because the Vril Damen were said to be in contact with aliens. Nordic aliens. And it's said that a lot of the information, Wernher von Braun and those that worked with him, somebody asked him, how did you guys, there in Nazi Germany, develop your weapons with such skill and such speed? You know what they said? We were helped. We were aided. We were given this information. By whom? The Vril Maidens. Because these ladies, and the reason for the long hair was their belief that the long hair was some sort of antenna, I guess. I don't know. That allowed these ladies to go into a trance and be able to communicate or have communicated to them ideas like for disc-shaped craft that could hover, move at extraordinary speeds, and be used to kill everybody. It is known, here's the pictures, that Hitler was working on what amounts to flying saucers when he lost the war. Hence, Operation Paperclip. Let's bring whoever was working on that over to New Mexico and get them to work on it for our side. But where were they getting all this information for? An atomic bomb? And who thinks of that? Who thinks of a bomb of splitting the atom that could release so much energy? And I'll tell you, you go look into history, you'll find that there were some nuclear physicists back then who swore that the first time we detonated an atomic bomb, it would blow up the whole universe. That's what they thought. They were scared to death of this thing. He said, how are we going to harness this kind of power and not, you know, and be able to restrict it? So they were legit. But where did they get this information from? They got it from the Vril Maidens. The Vril Maidens were receiving secret ideas. They were receiving technology delivered to them from these aliens, from these Hyperboreans, from these Atlanteans, these Thulians, these Nordics, these gods. And after all, it makes sense. Where did Noah get the idea for an ark? God. Right down to the square cubit. Where did he get the idea for what wood to use? God. Where did he get the idea to make three levels in it? God. The door. God. The window. God. Who told him to get on? God. Who gave Moses the instructions for the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant? Well, you know the answer to that. God did. God allowed Moses to see it in heaven. He told him, build it exactly the way you see it. And Moses did exactly that. And what I'm saying to you is, yes, I do believe that throughout history, the gods, quote unquote, have inspired men to make things that men would have never figured out on his own, or at least would have taken him a lot longer than it has. Remember, according to the scriptures, we've only been here about 6,000 years. And remember this as well. We went for almost all of that 6,000 years not knowing how to get ourselves 10 feet off the ground and stay there. We had no idea how to do that. Da Vinci kind of dreamed up some things. None of them worked. Until the Wright brothers. And how long was it from when the Wright brothers first flew at Kitty Hawk to us landing on the moon and coming back? We hadn't been flying but about 60 years. What is that? Like 1% of overall time? And in 60 years, we're already landing on the moon? Okay? And then where did Von Braun say we got some of that rocket technology from? He said we were helped. Okay? By the way, if you actually look up the phrase Ultima Thule, which means the Thule beyond where everything else is sort of the idea. Here's what you might find on Google. Take a look. This, it kind of looks like Mr. Potato Head. And the scientists called it Ultima Thule in honor of the German concept of something that was at Land's End. In other words, where all the land stopped, if you go beyond that, that's where Thule is. Okay, so it's the land beyond is literally the meaning of it. So, the astronomers found this particular little object. It's pretty good size. And it looks like it's made of two planetesimals, which are like baby planets. And it looks like they smashed into each other and then like stuck there. And they're floating around beyond Neptune, somewhere around the region of Pluto. So they called it Ultima Thule because it's the place beyond. It's farther than Saturn, farther than, you know, that other planet, it's Uranus, is the way I say it. Farther than Neptune, about where Pluto is. Pluto, of course, lost his planethood years ago. Okay? So that's what they called it in honor of this. So the idea of Ultima Thule is the land beyond. And to all the Germans and everybody else, it was on the north. Here's actually a map of Hyperborea. Hyper is the same as Ultima, the land beyond. Take a look. It shows a land above Asia, above Europe, above Greenland, Iceland, above the North American continent, Hyperborea. They all say that there was a land up there. This map looks a little bit like this. And remember, 1, 2, 3, 4 sections times 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's 32 sections. But they're focused on the north. instead of actually focusing on the South, because that's what's missing from this United Nations, logo, that's what's missing from the map, is Antarctica. And Antarctica has been declared by the United Nations as like hands-off land. It's the continent that nobody's allowed to live on, apparently, unless you got special permission, which feeds into the flat Earth. Don't get me started. Anyway, so instead of focusing on the landmass at south, at the South Pole, Antarctica, they focused on the empty place where nothing is at the North Pole. And remember, in the language of symbolism, when you have these 32 things, they're always surrounding this one point. That one point is what's the most significant of it. Remember the Sennacherib and his 32 kings that went against Israel twice and God had handed to him twice. First, on a mountain, it's a picture of Calvary. Second time in a valley, it's a picture of Armageddon. So it's 33 together. And that's what this is. The focus of this image, this symbol, is that spot there right at the north. That's the, let's call it the seat of their power. The Northern Army. Because if the United Nations ever hopes to really secure world peace, which would mean world domination, they would have to have an army to enforce it. An army that's more powerful than any army that's ever existed on planet Earth. A higher army. Now, I mentioned last week, I told you I was going to get into this today, Helena Blavatsky's Great White Brotherhood. Now, you may think she's talking about her neo-Nazi skinhead Aryan Nations group that she belonged to. No, she's not talking about that. Blavatsky wrote quite a bit, ISIS Unveiled, in two parts, huge volumes, and a book called The Secret Doctrine, among other works that she put together. And basically, she's sort of retelling history. And she's telling it from the occult point of view. And her whole premise is that throughout all of the ages, that man's quote-unquote evolution, this is where she differed from Darwin. Darwin said, evolution happens, get over it, and corruption happens with DNA, mistakes are made in DNA, but they turn out to be happy mistakes. Because apparently one of those happy genetic mistakes that happened with our ancestors was eyeballs. Right? Now we can see the world around us. And Darwin's an idiot. And Blavatsky agreed, and so did Francis Crick, the co-founder of what DNA looked like, him and Watson. Francis Crick said, the chances are, and I gave this number, I don't remember what it was, the chances are of life spontaneously generating on a dead planet are, the actual number was higher than the total sum of all the molecules or all the atoms in the universe. In other words, impossible. He was right. It didn't just spontaneously show up. So this is where Blavatsky comes in. Blavatsky believed in evolution, but she said, oh no, Darwin's an idiot. If he thinks that it just happened this way, that first accident happened that created life, and then for all of these other accidents to give the diversity of life that's on this planet, what are you? And they call us ignorant and unlearned for believing that God created everything, that had a design to it. And here's the blueprint. See, I don't want to believe that. But anyway, I'm chatty today. But anyway, where was I going with that? Blavatsky believed that there was this master race, superior beings, that was guiding evolution all throughout history, was guiding the affairs of man. She believed in previous races that lived on the earth. She believed in what's called a root race. And I don't know all the other races. And man's one race now. But her and others like one of her later on students, Elise Bailey, Crowley, some of these other guys, that's the people she ran with. They believe that there's another race coming. Man's going to change. He's going to evolve, and it's going to take place quickly because the Great White Brotherhood will intervene once again to make sure that happens. Let's look. This is the Wikipedia article. Great White Brotherhood and belief systems akin to theosophy and New Age, are said to be perfected beings of great power who spread spiritual teachings through selected humans. The members of the Brotherhood may be known as the Masters of the Ancient Wisdom, the Ascended Masters, the Church Invisible, or simply as the Hierarchy. Let me kind of stop right here. Think opposites. Remember, the devil says, I will be like the Most High. So he's never had an original thought. He just copies what God does. But he's not a good copyist. He's not a good forger. Everything he does is upside down and backwards. Okay? So we have God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And throughout time, God, through the Holy Ghost, has had his men on this earth who he has given his word to. They have written faithfully those words down. And then God sent the Word, Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, to this world. You have the apostles who then writing the doctrine of the New Testament down. Jesus ascends into heaven. They write the doctrines out. And then we have the church. And we have the believers in heaven who have already gone. And we have the believers here who remain on the earth. Okay? So flip that upside down and you get the idea of what she's talking about. When she says the church invisible, she's not talking about our church or the church, which is the body of Christ. She's not talking about that. She's talking about there are divines, quote unquote, in the heavens, the cosmos, ascended masters, great white brotherhood. They are an invisible church, while the elite occultists down here are the visible representatives of the invisible ones. They're the ones who are going out spreading the good word of the ascended masters who are soon to come to this earth. Does it sound familiar? It should, because it is the flip-up, upside-down opposite of Christ returning with his saints. Okay? That's what it is. So, down here on this earth, you have people like Blavatsky, Crowley, Bailey, Marilyn Ferguson, who wrote The Aquarian Conspiracy. Who's the Scientology guy? Along with Jack Parsons. They were followers of Aleister Crowley. And then you have occultists throughout the world. You have yogis in India. You have the Dalai Lama. You have Tibetan monks. You have Neil Donald Walsh, who writes Conversations with God. John Denver. Of course, Hollywood and the music crowd, they all got into the occult years ago. John Denver belonged to a group called Erhard Seminary Training, a German by the name of Werner Erhard, who came to America and started this New Age school that John Denver belonged to. John Denver told Life magazine, I believe I'll become a god one day. Yeah, how'd that work when you got killed in that plane wreck, John? Okay, but that's what they get involved in because they reject Christianity. So then now you have people like Stephen Greer, Tom DeLonge, Paula Harris, who I mentioned last week. You have all the UFO people, Grant Cameron, all these UFO researchers and all these UFO people who are saying, we want these UFOs to come down. We want these aliens to come down. They're going to help us. They're going to save us. They're going to bring us to a new world and a new world order. Yeah, that's what we want. And the only way we can get that is to destroy Christianity. And then bring down the ascended masters. That is exactly what the Bible's been saying all along. Let me keep on reading. The first person to talk about them in the West was Helena Petrona Blavatsky, after she and other people claimed to have received messages from them. These included Helena Rorick, Aleister Crowley, Elise Bailey, Guy Ballard, Geraldine Innocente, The Bridge to Freedom, Elizabeth Clare Prophet, Bob Sanders, Benjamin Cream. Benjamin Cream, if you remember, he's the guy that said that Lord Maitreya was going to be revealed to be the Antichrist. What was it, May 1st, 1982, something like that. You remember that back years ago? What was he wrong? Whoops. And see, that's the point. All these John the Baptist types are forerunners of this invisible church up in the cosmos. And they're all telling, they're all giving dates, they're all telling, oh, it's going to happen here, it's going to happen this date. And it never does. That's the mark of a false prophet. They're wrong. Maybe they get stuff right every now and then, but God requires 100% accuracy out of His prophets. Just keep that in mind next time you read your Bible. Okay? So, watch this. Concerning Blavatsky, much of what Blavatsky knew of the White Brotherhood and other secret knowledge came from her studies among the Tibetan monks. During this time, she was shown a secret book called the Book of Zen, or Chan, said to be older than the Bible. And it was written in a sacred language called Sinzar, which Blavatsky called, quote, a secret sacerdotal language or the mystery speech of the initiated adepts all over the world. Now, the word sacerdotal refers to the priesthood. Let me explain this. If some of you remember being a Roman Catholic back when you were young, and you went to church, and you saw the pedophile priest behind that little lectern there, and he's reading Latin. He's saying all these Latin hocus-pocus words. Remember that? And for years, when they said the Mass and quoted the Scriptures, they did it in Latin. Why? And it was forbidden for any other language to be used than Latin, even though God had the Bible written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, not Latin. And Latin was around because Latin was one of the languages used at the header on the cross. So God didn't choose Latin, but the Roman Catholic Church did, and they said that it's the sacred language. Well, you have that in other religions. Sanskrit, among the Hindus. And here, among the those who follow the Great White Brotherhood, this Book of Chan, written in a secret language that nobody in the world understands. Does that sound a little Pentecostal to you? Anytime you have a priesthood or a hierarchy, I don't care what church it is. I don't care if it's a Baptist church, but the pastor up there uses Greek and Hebrew words that he knows you have no idea what those words mean, because they're not in your Bible. He's going to use, and I know this because I used to do it, he's going to use a secret language with everybody, and only he knows what the words really mean. You're looking in your Bible, Revelation 18, upon her forehead was the name. Well, the original Greek, it doesn't really mean forehead. It could mean like on her face or on her lips. And the word mystery, well, the word mysterion, it has other meanings. And I think the real meaning of the word mysterion means chocolate ice cream. See, he could say that, and you're going, well, he's a PhD. I'm sure he knows what he's talking about. And you poor people, God gave you the greatest gift in the world called the Holy Bible, written in a language that you can understand. But you give your confidence over to the sacerdotal priests who know the secret code and the secret language that you're not supposed to ever know. That was the whole purpose of it. So here's this book of Chan, Zan, or however you pronounce it. There's different, I looked it up, there's different ways. Written in mystery speech. What does that tell you? Mystery Babylon the Great. In a language that most people would never know, never understand, never be able to. And they said that when you translate out of this, Sinzar language, that there's no way in any human language to translate this secret mystical language. That's why this language must be used. Well, if you don't know what it means, what good is it? Well, that's your basic mystery religion. That's your secret society, and that's every cult in the world, because they're full of concepts that you have no idea what they mean. And that's the point of it. So, among other things, the Book of Chan describes an alien race that descended from the heavens in a metallic ship, lived among humans, and eventually prevailed and reigned over them. When man rebelled against them, the alien gods retaliated with what can only be described as an atomic weapon of some kind that destroyed the city and poisoned anyone who walked through the city, even poisoning the rivers that flowed through the city. Now, if you've ever watched episodes of Ancient Aliens on the History Channel, I'm sure that you've heard this story. That supposedly, and science has gone to this region and looked at soil samples, looked at rocks, and it does, they say, seem to indicate that what looks like a nuclear explosion took place there. Now, I can't sit here and tell you, well, according to this, I believe it. I believe there was a nuclear bomb that was exploded over this village, and, you know, an ancient whatever. I can't tell you that. Could just as well have been like a huge meteor or a comet coming in through the atmosphere under extreme heat and pressure, exploding, poisoning, killing, like Tunguska in Siberia. Could have been that. I don't know. I don't see it here in the scriptures, so I'm not going to put much substance in it. Okay? But it does make you wonder, where did they get the idea of splitting an atom and it would release such energy as to utterly decimate everything within a 10-mile radius? Where did they get that idea from? Okay? The Vril Society, the Thule Society, the Hyperboreans, you name it. Check this out. There was a British theosophist along the time of Blavatsky who also... Now, this book has never been seen by any university professor. Blavatsky is one of the few who says she's actually seen the book. So it's caused a lot of scientists to say this is all made up. However, there was a British theosophist, Charles Leadbetter, who not only saw the book, but described it this way. It appears to be very highly magnetized. For as soon as a man takes a page into his hand, he sees passing before his eyes a vision of the events which it is intended to portray, while at the same time he seems to hear a sort of rhythmic description of them in his own language. So far as that language will convey the ideas involved, its pages contain no words whatever. Nothing but symbols. So understand this. You have a book supposedly written in a language that nobody knows what it says. But this book now has magical properties that when you touch the book, all of a sudden you get an instant download of vision. Whatever page it's on, you are sort of getting a picture, like a movie, of exactly what that page is saying. And then you hear a near instantaneous translation of what that book is saying in your own language. First of all, let's deal with the language. I've brought this up many times before, and this is why I'm an opponent of any language that mankind doesn't know. I'm an opponent of that for this reason. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28 deals with blessings and cursings. God says, I'll bless you if you do this, if you do this, if you do what I say, you honor me, I'll bless you. You don't honor me, you don't honor my word, you don't keep my commandments, all of them, I'll curse you. I have read accounts where it was said, George Washington, when he gave the oath of office, he not only laid his hand on a Bible, it was open to Deuteronomy 28. Okay? The blessings and cursings there, you can see in American history that when we got our things right with God, God blessed us. When we didn't, think of repealing prohibition. And what happened right after that? Great Depression. It's just one example. Anyway, Deuteronomy 28, as part of the curses, says, verse 49, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth. Where are they coming from? Wherever the earth ends, and whatever is after that begins, that's where they came from. As swift as the eagle flieth, what kind of eagle? Could it be an eagle like in Ezekiel 1 that came out of the north? A nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. There's at least two other references in the Bible that talk about that. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. Mean devils. Literally, mean devils. Speaking a language that no one knows. Let me tell you a UFO story. Apparently true. Colonel Charles Holt was in charge of the airbase at Bentwaters, England, back in the 60s, I believe, 70s. December, right around Christmas time, there was a UFO sighting on base. A couple of the guards saw this thing, were freaked out by it. A couple days later, they called Colonel Holt and said, they're out here again. They actually went into Rendlesham Forest, found a craft that had landed. And Colonel Holt, and he's narrating this on a, he always carried a little cassette, mini cassette recorder. And he's recording what he's seeing. And his testimony is that on this craft, they walked up to it, and it had symbols like hieroglyphics on it. Symbols. And he said, I didn't know what they said, but he said, I reached out because it looked like they were raised up, like three-dimensional. And he said he touched them, and instantly, in his mind, is appearing all these numbers, zeros and ones. What is that? That's binary. That's computer code. Binary computer code operates in zeros and ones, switches on and off. Remember that? So he gets this, he's touching this, these letters and getting this download of information that stays in his head until he writes every last one of them down. And as soon as he writes the last zero down, it's gone. He can't remember it. Okay? Apparently that happened. So this is the same idea of a secret book written in a secret language that only the elite can know, an alien language that nobody on this planet knows what it is and knows what it says. But it gives its own interpretation. Think Bible. Remember, everything the devil does, flipped upside down and backwards. So when you read the Bible, who's standing there with you telling you what it means? The author. Who's drawing the pictures for you? God is, because they're already pre-drawn in the pages of the Scriptures. Who's giving you the understanding? Who is it that has the gift, who gives the gift of interpretation of unknown tongues? The Holy Ghost. See it now? This is the exact, the devil's never had an original thought in his existence. Okay? Now, the reason why I bring that up now is part of this Nordic thing. Let me show you this. You recognize that? It's from Frozen 2, which I got a lot more to tell you. But in Frozen 2, they find a ship in the middle of nowhere. A ship. And the ship has a secret in it. And they go in, Elsa and her sister, forgive me, I don't know who these people are. I mean, you asked me about Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny, I can tell you all about Bugs Bunny. But they go in this ship in the middle of nowhere where there's no ocean, and they find a secret compartment and a secret canister and these rolled up scrolls, and they unroll this one, and it's written in a hex language. Notice the symbols. They're all hexagons. What is a hexagon? It's the number 6. Okay? I didn't make this up, and you can't make this up. And they say, I don't know what this language is. It's written in a language that no one knows. Okay? There's a map involved here too, but I won't get into all that yet. But I wanted to show you. So Theosophy and Blavatsky's ideas, the secret doctrine and Isis unveiled. Isis is Mystery Babylon. Most of Blavatsky's ideas either came from this Tibetan book or from an ascended master by the name of Jwa Kul. These ideas now showing up and have been showing up. Movies, TV shows, cartoons, books, comic books. As the devil's not had an original thought, neither is Hollyweird. Because basically, they're involved in shaping. I mean, who's Frozen 4? Is that something that you and your wife went to see on date night? I don't think so. But the kids, they loved it. So we took a whole generation of children out of Sunday school years ago, and we sat them down with the Disney Channel, and they're constantly feeding their mind on witches, warlocks, wizards, and with Frozen 2, elemental witchcraft. And God said, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." Period. So we're feeding the generation of children that live in this world right now. We're feeding them secret occult doctrines. They're raised on that. How are they going to turn out as adults if any child of this generation ever gets saved as an adult? It will be the grace and the power of God and nothing else. Including, I would say, most church kids. Because more than likely, there's already Vacation Bible School and Sunday School literature. Frozen themed. Oh, the four elements. They're the four Gospels. No, they're not. They're another Gospel. Back to the Great White Brotherhood. This is the Wikipedia article. Ideas about this secret council of sages under several names were a widely shared feature of late 19th century and early 20th century esotericism. Arthur Edward Waite, in his 1898 book of Black Magic and of Pacts, hinted at the existence of a secret group of initiates who dispensed truth and wisdom to the worthy. A young Aleister Crowley, reading this, wrote Waite and was directed to read von Eckharthausen's book. Crowley's search for this secret wisdom eventually led him to become a neophyte in the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, which represented itself to be the visible and earthly outer order of the Great White Brotherhood. Within the Golden Dawn itself, its teachings claim to be derived from a similar body of initiates, which in that tradition were called the Secret Chiefs. Now, back up just a minute. Remember I told you that just as there is the saints in heaven and the saints in earth, so there also are the invisible, quote-unquote, esoteric church, which are the Nordics, the Nordic aliens, the Ascended Masters, the Secret Chiefs, you name them, because they come from Kansas City. And then you have, on this earth, you have the visible esoteric church, which was in the 1800s. You had Waite, you had Blavatsky, Crowley, and all those, and then you have all the people now, including film producers, advertising executives, you name it. They are involved and are being led. They are just as we, and me sitting here today, hopefully doing my best to be the man that God gives his message through, so do these elitists. And buddy, you don't have to be a nice person to be part of their church. Because remember, you're dealing with black magic kind of voodoo stuff with this stuff. You're talking about human sacrifice type stuff. Okay? Where in most witches' circles, they just have a cup and a dagger and they go, and that's supposed to be their secret ceremony, right? Well, with this stuff, you're talking about people who actually, the cup is the female and the dagger is the male. You get that? Or, in extreme cases, Epstein. Right? Maybe the woman's not such a woman. That's a cult ritual 101. It's the basics of it. Destroy the innocent. So anyway, so that's what they're talking about. These Ascended Masters, Great White Brotherhood, Nordic aliens, are guiding and inspiring the movements and the teachings of people throughout the centuries, including this very day. Now, he mentions secret chiefs, and that is a word directly from our beloved King James Bible. How so? Ezekiel 38. Remember Gog, Magog? Meshach and Tubal, right? And, you know, I used to watch Jack Van Impe back in the early 90s, and boy, I thought, man, he's got great hair and Rex Ella, and he's got a great announcer with a wonderful voice. And he would talk about Gog and Magog being Russia and Germany, and that may all be somewhat true. But he missed it. He missed it. He missed what Gog was really all about. Ezekiel 38:2, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief, there it is, prince of Meshach and Tubal. What is a prince? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That's what a prince is, in Bible speak. While you may have an earthly, remember, the invisible, visible. While you may have an earthly representation of that prince, like the prince of Tyrus, or the prince of Meshach, or the prince of Israel, which is Michael, you, the prince of the people of Persia, while they may have had a king or a shah, you have a spirit, a very powerful one, who is very territorial, like an animal would be. Okay? Because that's what they are. They're beasts. And he's a chief prince. Okay? The Hebrew word is Rosh, like the word Rosh Hashanah, means like high day, something like that. Chief is Rosh. So the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Daniel 10:13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, there it is, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So in this verse, Daniel 10:13, he's saying it both ways. The kings of Persia, the earthly rulers, but the chief prince, one of the chief princes, above those was Michael, an archangel. Very powerful. And what does Michael do? In Revelation 12, it's Michael. When John said, I saw a war in heaven, Michael and his angels. So imagine who Michael is. And it ain't Michael Jackson either. Oh, good grief. That's what some people said. And by the way, he's coming back. Michael is one of the highest angels because apparently he's over the other two-thirds of all the angelic hosts. He's like the five-star general of all of them. The only one, I guess, superior to Michael is Jesus Christ, the captain of the host. Doesn't it make you feel good to know? It does me. To know that we have an army on our side. We do have an army on our side. And it's led by the most powerful angel in heaven, Michael himself, who defeats Satan and a third of the angels. But we also have the boss over him is Jesus Christ. And they ain't ne'er e'er a devil ever whooped up on Jesus, but what Jesus let him do it at Calvary. Amen? Woo! I like it. So take a look. There's actually, you could probably figure this one out. Let's see, would there be a rock group named Secret Chiefs? Why, yes. And here's a picture of them. How are they dressed? I mean, never mind the symbols, but if you want to look at the symbols, you see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pointed stars. Those represent the 7 devils. 7 unclean spirits more powerful than the unclean spirit that left the windswept house. 7 devils that Mary Magdalene had. 7 heads of the beast, 7 heads of the dragon. That's what they represent. Then, of course, you have the pentacle or pentagram, various other symbols. But you have a group called Secret. I wonder how they write their songs. Well, 1 Samuel 28:12. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? The woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up. Here it is. He is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. It wasn't Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground, bowed himself. Remember this verse? We used it last week. Psalm 109:29. Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame. And let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. And the reason why this familiar spirit was covered with a mantle. Anything covered represents secret, occult, confusion. What's under there? What's it hiding? Why can't we see its face? Because Saul never saw the face. Neither did the witch at Endor, Endora. She never saw it. She saw the gods ascending up, and apparently they're wearing mantles, hoodies. Didn't see the face. So what's really under there? What are they hiding? They're hiding secret doctrines. They're hiding their purpose. They're hiding their true identity. He wants Saul to think it's Samuel, but it's not Samuel. These secret chiefs, they want people to think that they're aliens or that they're gods or that they are people who used to live on the earth or other planets billions of years ago who found the secret to life, and now they live among the stars and they're happy to help us out because they're all happy. They're all happy devils. Okay? Happy gods. We're here to help you. We're going to give you UFOs and spaceships and, yeah, we're going to give you like laser technology like Star Trek. We're going to beam you up, Scotty. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. And we're going to solve world hunger and we're going to get rid of COVID. It's a trap. It's a trap. I have books. One of them's called The Complete Idiot's Guide to Wiccan Witchcraft. How telling, because you'd have to be a complete idiot to fall for this stuff. You know why God tells us don't be a witch? Don't go to witches? Because He knows they don't know anything. They say they know it. They don't know anything. They make it up or they hear it from a devil, and He knows the devil's going to lie to them and He's going to set them up in a trap. And God's trying to protect us from going after that stuff and getting ourselves killed or hurt. So God's protecting us. You have to be an idiot. So they wrote a book for them. Here's what it said about spirit guides. Varies from individual to individual, the names do. Where are they from? They're from the realm of the spirit. How to invite them to ritual, request their presence. Like guardian angels, spirit guides are assigned to us at birth. Stop right here. What did I say? A familiar spirit is one that knows everything there is to know about you. So that 100 years from now, when there's a seance, they can say, okay, hello, I don't know, Jim. I'm your Uncle Steve, or I'm your Uncle Chris, or I'm your Uncle Kevin, or I'm your Uncle Mike, okay? And it's not any one of those guys. It's a spirit who was with Kevin and Chris and Steve and Mike and John and whoever else, okay? They're assigned at birth. And we can have as many as, here it is, 7 of them. Cue the music. Bum, bum, bum! Sometimes the spirit guide is a soul who doesn't need to incarnate again. That means become flesh. Your spirit guides help you to learn your spiritual lesson. They also watch over you and often will quite literally guide you on your path through life. In addition, your spirit, notice they capitalize the S there, guides, will sometimes set up learning situations to help you evolve spiritually. Often spirit guides come to us in our dreams. People don't trust that stuff. Read your Bible. Once you learn to work with your spirit guides, they will send you messages or warnings when something is wrong. They might even block you or smack you on the back of your head when you're about to do something stupid. Literally, when your work is going really well and just seems to flow out of you, that is often an indication that your spirit guides are working through you and that you are doing the right thing. What'd I tell you? Where'd they get the ideas for all this stuff that they've made? Familiar spirits. Where'd Tesla come up with this stuff at? Spirits. When you do ritual, you'll want to invite your spirit guides to come into the circle with you. Actually, you probably won't need to ask. They will already be there with you. You can ask from them the same kind of help you would ask from deity to help carry out your magic and to protect, guide, and support you. The more you work with spirit guides, the more aware you will become of their presence. Some people can feel them. Others, smell them? Ugh. Sometimes you can catch a glimpse of them out of the corner of your eye. If you meditate regularly, you may start being able to see them. They usually present themselves in a form that is comfortable for you. Some people's spirit guides appear in the form, look at that, of an animal. They can even look like big human babies. Now, I have a lot to say about that last phrase. They even look like big human babies. Remember Travis Walton on that alien ship? You know how he described those gray aliens? He said they look like large, unformed fetuses. You know how a fetus in its early development has a huge head, big eyes, little body? I'm telling you. Okay? That's coming when I get to the gray aliens part. But here they're making it sound like these aliens are your best friend in the world. They're there to help you. And I guess for anybody who's abandoned Jesus Christ and His Word and doesn't want the Holy Spirit guiding them, I guess that's all you've got left are these evil angels. They will be nice to you at first. And when they're done using you, they will absolutely destroy you. Guaranteed. All seven of them. Mary Magdalene, ask her. She had them in her life. She had them possessing her. And her life was so horrible, Jesus saved her from it. Amen to that. Very quickly, here's Crowley's organization that he named after these familiar spirits. The Arcanum Arcanorum, AA, which means secret of secrets. And that there's a lot of different speculations about what AA stands for. Arcanum Arcanorum, which means secret of secrets. AA, angel and abyss, meaning like the heaven angels and the pit angels. Argentium astrum, which means silver star. I want you to notice, and I'm going to stop here. I want you to notice how Crowley signed the AA. He put three dots in a triangle. And his star there on his symbol, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, of course. Seven, like the seven devils, seven heads of the beast, and so on. That's what that. It's the opposite of the seven spirits of God. Has that with the three dots next to each letter A. I recognize that. I've seen that before. One of the things Stephen Greer did was he led a team out one night. And they did a CE5 thing, a Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, which is human-initiated contact with aliens. Greer's team, they all thought of a symbol for their organization, which was three circles joined together with three lines. So they visualized that, and they sent that to the aliens. And it was like a day or week later, something like that, that over in England, the aliens responded by putting a crop circle in that exact shape. Here is Stephen Greer's symbol for his CSETI, the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence. It's the exact same symbol. And the two A's. Well, here's Tom DeLonge with his new rock group, Angels and Airwaves. And notice the symbol. And the symbol on Tom DeLonge's guitar, it's a square and compass, right? Is it just because he likes that symbol? No, he's a Freemason. And I'm telling you, DeLonge gets it as much as he is allowed to get with his limited understanding of who these devils are. But he gets it. He, because of his Freemasonic teachings, he understands when you got a pillar here with a globe of the stars and a pillar here with the globe of the earth, he understands that those two are meant to be joined together. And that's what his To the Stars Academy is all about. Because his whole team, ex-CIA, there is no such thing as ex-CIA. They're CIA. CIA operatives, Pentagon guys, that are working on what they call tangibles, things that they say they've got from extraterrestrial craft. They're working on reversing the technology to give us the ability to travel literally to the stars. That's why he called it that. We're getting there. I don't mean we're getting there as far as getting this topic understood. We're getting to that time when heaven and earth are going to collide together. It is the fourth kingdom. It will be. They will mingle themselves with the seed of men, and Jesus Christ will come and destroy every bit of it. And it couldn't happen any sooner for me and you. Somebody say amen. Well, I better go. I'd sit here and talk all night. Talk your ear off. I enjoy it. I love it. I love to study. I love uncovering mysteries. I find new things still all the time. I love this book. I want you to love this book the way I love this book. And next week, I don't know if we'll finish or not. I still got to show you the frozen two thing. I got to show you that. And then we'll get it more into the scripture about this northern army. Read Joel 1, 2, and 3. Read Revelation 9. That's your northern army. All right? I love you. The reason why I do what I do. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.